ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रयेष्वभद्रिषु नित्यभागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भावति नैष्ठिकी। यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमुपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायना विरहकातराजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयो तरवो विनेदुस्तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। रीडिंग श्रीमद्भागवतम् केन्ट 5 चैप्टर 4 द करेक्टरिस्टिक्स् ऑफ ऋषभदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। यस्या हि इन्द्रः स्पर्धमानः भगवन् वर्षे न ववर्ष तात् अवधार्य भगवन् ऋषभदेवः योगेश्वरः प्रहस्य आत्मा योगमायया स्ववर्षम् अजनाभम् नामा अभ्यवार्षत्। यस्य हीन्द्रः स्पर्धमानो भगवन् वर्षे न ववर्ष तत् अवधार्य भगवन् ऋषभदेव योगेश्वरः प्रहस्यात्मा योगमाय स्ववर्षम जनाभम् नमा अभ्यवार्षत्। यस्य ऑफ हूम हि इंडीड इन्द्रः किंग इन्द्र ऑफ हेवन स्पर्धमानः बीइंग एनवियस भगवन् very opulent varshe on Bharata Varsha Nava Varsha did not pour water that avadharya knowing Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead ऋषभदेवः ऋषभदेव योग ईश्वरः द मास्टर् ऑफ ऑल मिस्टिक पावर प्रहास्य स्माइलिंग आत्मयोगमायया बाय हिज ओन स्पिरिचुअल पोटेंसी स्ववार्षम् on his place ajanabam ajanaba nama named abhyavarshat he pour water. Translation: Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhadeva. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharata Varsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanaba. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. We find the word Bhagavan used twice in this verse. Both King Indra and Rishabhadeva, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very opulent and powerful person, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabhadeva is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. Consequently, he is described herein as Yogeshwara, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Yagyat bhavati parjanyah. Due to the performance of yagya, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yagya or Yagyapati, takes the task upon himself. Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place named Ajanaba. When Yagyapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti. For the general populace, due to ignorance and the scarcity of yagic ingredients, will neglect to perform yagyas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises, Yagyai sankirtana prayai yajantihi sumedasaha. After all, yagya is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is a great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform sankirtana yagya. Every family in every society can conduct sankirtana yagya at least every evening. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for the people of this age to perform sankirtana yagya in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yasya hindrah svardhamano bhagavan varshe nava varsha tat avadharya bhagavan rishabhadeva yogeshwaraha prahasyatma yogamaya yasva varsham ajanabham nama abhyavarshat. Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhadev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatavarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yogamaya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanaba. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajano Lambita Bujokana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yantah Pravishya Mamavachi Mamam Prasuptam Sanjeevaya Tekila Shakti Daraksvadam Nanyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. Hare Krishna. So we're reading this passage from Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains that King Indra had a problem with Rishabhadev. And we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that he repeatedly has problems with Krishna. And that's not without a reason. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport and that King Indra considers himself Bhagavan. He's very rich. Bhagavan means somebody who has opulences. And as soon as you get some opulence, you get some pride. It's inevitable. These two things very tightly connected together. If you have something, you will be proud. It is said if a rickshawala has a 2 paisa, he has become proud. No matter what, if you have little talent, little music skill, little orator skill, little knowledge, whatever little you have, you will become proud. And the pride will bring about envy. Again, these two qualities are very much interconnected, because if one is unnaturally proud, and any pride among humans or among living entities is unnatural, because actually speaking, there is nothing to be proud of. If we look very objectively at our opulences, we will understand that we are really not very important. Srila Prabhupada, once he, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he liked to tell this story, that once Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and at that time, one of ISKCON artists, he very beautifully painted the picture which is there on the dust cover of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with the spiritual world. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the temple commander at that time in the Los Angeles temple. He came to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada called him close to him, and they came to this painting of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said, look, this is the spiritual world, and there are unlimited planets in the spiritual world, and just little corner of the spiritual world is called material world, and just a little tiny place in the creation. And in this material world there are thousands and millions and billions and trillions of universes. And these all universes are, you know, coming out from Mahavishnu's body. And among these universes, there is one small universe in which we live. And there are unlimited planets in this universe, and then there is one small planet Earth in which we live. And in this planet Earth, there are so many continents and oceans and, you know, and there is one continent which is called America. And in America there are so many different big cities, huge cities, and there is one city which is called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles there are so many big buildings, and there is one building in La Cienega Boulevard. And in this one building there is Tamal Krishna Goswami. He stays in one corner and he feels I'm very important. And Prabhupada wanted to show us that actually we are very insignificant. By any objective understanding, we are really, 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 really insignificant. And this is true for every living entity. But the tendency is that the living entity will feel himself very significant, very important. Every living entity feels himself he is the center of creation, and he tries to make the whole creation rotate around him. And it's a very difficult task, you know. It's not going to work. As it is explained here, if you are proud, you will become envious. Why you become envious? Because the pride will not allow you to understand that somebody is greater than you. And because of this, you will become envious of somebody who has more opulences than you. And this is exactly what happened with King Indra. We know it happened with him during Lord Krishna's pastimes. We know it happened with him again during Krishavadev's pastimes. He has become proud because he has become proud, he has become envious of the Lord. And the Lord, as Prabhupada explains here, he is Yogeshwara, and he showed him his opulence, his real opulence, smiling. It is explained that Lord Krishna is always smiling. He looks at us in our endeavor to show the world that we are the greatest, and he smiles. Krishna always smiles, and we give him plenty of reasons to smile, to laugh at us. And here it is explained that basically he smiled because he knew that no matter what Lord Indra wants, he will do however he wants. That's a very important point which we have to understand, and if we understand this, we will surrender. The point which we will have to understand is that there is a supreme will. There is a supreme being, and supreme being means supreme will. And our only duty and only reasonable way of thinking in this world is that we have to surrender to the supreme will. Whatever Lord Krishna wants, we have to be happily accepting in our lives. So many problems are there. And we always have some negative kind of understanding of all these problems. Nobody, except for Queen Kunti, asks for problems. Problems come on its own accord. And they will come in everyone's life. There is nobody in this world who didn't have problems. Even Krishna, when he comes here, he also has problems. And Krishna comes here, he is born in his prison, and so many problems he has to face. This is the world of problems. Padam padam yatvi padam natesham. And Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that there are problems in this world in every step. But the problems are only problems in our mind if we don't accept the supreme will, if we don't understand that this is the Lord who sends us these problems for our own purification, for our own improvement. If we understand this, then the problems are not so difficult to take. With grateful heart, we will accept all these problems and will say, thank you very much, my dear Lord, for sending these problems. This is good for us. And this acceptance of the supreme will is the main lesson which we have to learn. This whole world is designed in such a way that we learn something. The problems are there for us to teach us something. Krishna is the supreme teacher. He is Jagat Guru. He is the teacher of the world, and because he is the teacher of the world, he wants to teach us. And he wants to teach us. He wants to teach us only one thing, one simple thing which he wants to teach us: to accept the supreme will of the Lord and to surrender to him. This whole world is designed in such a way to force us to surrender, to understand that this is the best way to live in this world, to surrender to him. And this little episode which is described here, when Lord Rishabhadev, and from the context of these verses we can understand that Lord Rishabhadev was a very small child at that time. He just smiled and he showed Lord Indra that he is the Supreme Lord. And ultimately, this is what we have to understand, and this is what is very difficult for us to understand because of our pride. We are proud. And because we are proud, we don't want to surrender. And in Vedic culture, coming to the next topic of this purport, in the Vedic culture, there is a very great device which ultimately has to teach us to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And this device, this element, central element of Vedic culture, is called yagya. Yagya means sacrifice, and yagya, the sole purpose of yagya, is to teach us to surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, quotes these verses from Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, if you perform yagya, sahayagya, what is this, sahayagya, srishta praja, that the Prajapati, the creator of this world, he created praja, living entities, together with yagya. He created all living entities, and he said, if you want to fulfill all your desires, this is the way to fulfill your desires, perform yagya. Don't try to fulfill your desires without yagya, because that will be ultimately detrimental for you and for everyone else. In the Vedic culture, it is very clearly explained, if you want to be happy in this world, there is only one way to be happy. This way is called yagya. You have to perform sacrifice. And we see, in this Kali Yuga, nobody performs sacrifice. And, you know, one can say that people, you know, they fulfill their desires without sacrifice. They invented some other way to fulfill their desires. This way is called science. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was so much against the scientists. Therefore, he founded this Bhaktivedanta Institute. And he said, the sole purpose of Bhaktivedanta Institute is to kick scientists in the face. He said, I'm kicking them in the face. But, you know, this whole scientific civilization which we are living in is extremely demonic, because it does teach people how to fulfill their desires without performing sacrifice. And superficially, it does fulfill the desires of the living entities. You know, we can see so many desires are there, and they are fulfilled constantly, and the science, you know, produces new and new gadgets and new inventions and cars, and, you know, you can do whatever you like. Previously, if you wanted to fly in the sky, you had to, you know, really sit down in Himalayas, and, you know, through this hard tapasya, after so many years, you would fly in the sky. Now you just go and buy the ticket, and you're flying. You can do whatever you like with the science. Science discovering the secrets which is there in the matter, and by this you can fulfill your desires. But there is one problem. Even though the desires are being fulfilled, nobody is happy. And desires are, you know, there are more and more and more desires, and people are trying to fulfill the desires, and new means to fulfill the desires appears, but result is one. There is only one result. The whole world is being destroyed.
Individual living entities are destroyed, lives of people are ruined, families are ruined, social structure is ruined, the whole world is ruined, and this is the result. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita so strongly says, if you want to fulfill your desires, there is a way to fulfill your desires. Just perform yajna. And by performing yajna, you will purify your karma. Living entities are very much inclined to do some activities. And yajna is the way to teach us how to perform activities. On a gross level, what yajna means? On a gross level, yajna means that you are taught a discipline. Yajna is a very difficult subject matter. If you study karma mimamsa, you know, it's practically impossible in this age and time to perform yajnas, because it has to be done so ridiculously precisely. You know, there are so many conditions you have to fulfill for yajna to be successful. It's really very difficult science, you know. Everything has to be, every ingredient has to be taken from the proper source, and every ingredient has to be taken, the whole procedure has to be very precise, all the mantras has to be precisely chanted. You know, there is no chances for this yajnas to be successful in this way and age, in this age. But the idea behind this is to teach people discipline. The science doesn't teach this. Science says, you know, you can do whatever you like and we will fulfill your desires. You don't have to lead a regulated life, just work like an ass, earn some money, and then in this way you will fulfill your desires. But Vedas, and this is the idea of the yajna, behind the yajna, they say, if you want to fulfill your desires, lead a very regulated life. Be very disciplined and believe in God. And this is on the gross level. On a more subtle level, yajna means that ultimately, and this is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is the purpose of yajna? The purpose of yajna is to develop knowledge. On a subtle level, what is Agnihotra means, you know, you offer something gross to the fire. And fire signifies knowledge. The idea or the very essence of yajna means that you offer some gross dravya, some ingredients in the fire, and in this way the knowledge appears in you. For the sake of knowledge, because this is the meaning of human life, the meaning of human life, gyanena hina pashubhih samana. The human being without knowledge is like an animal. So, on a subtle level, yajna teaches us that the purpose of human life is knowledge, to acquire knowledge. And for the sake of knowledge, you have to be ready to sacrifice all the gross ingredients which you acquire. This is the meaning of yajna. You offer grains, you offer good things, you know, and some people, they really wonder, you know, what a waste of good things. When Prabhupada was performing the first yajna in New York, initiation ceremony, he asked his disciples to bring the ingredients, and he said, you bring some ghee, clarified butter. And they said, this is, you know, and we will pour it in the fire, and his disciples thought, this is a waste of ghee. And they said, and they brought some margarine, some cheap artificial butter, not ghee. You know, but the idea behind this is very important. You take all these ingredients which are considered the wealth. Ghee is the wealth. Grains is the wealth. Dhanya, it's done. It's the real wealth. And you pour it in the fire. Why? For what? To also understand that ultimately you have to be ready to sacrifice everything which you have for the sake of knowledge. The meaning of life is only as much as you fulfill your higher destination, your higher higher meaning. You get the higher meaning only if you acquire higher knowledge. And for the sake of this, you have to be ready to sacrifice anything which you have. So this is what Yajna teaches us. And ultimately, the ultimate sacrifice, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, what is ultimate sacrifice? Sarma dharman paritya mamekam sharanam raja. The ultimate sacrifice or the ultimate meaning of Yajna is that you have to be ready to sacrifice yourself, your ego. And that's why Yajna is so important. Yajna is the basis, the foundation of the proper society, because it teaches us to surrender to God. And this is ultimately the meaning, you know, to get rid of our pride, to surrender to God, and to get the highest understanding of the meaning of life by surrendering ourselves to God. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. This is the end, this is the result. Whatever yajna you perform, you have to understand this. And Srila Prabhupada explains this, that ultimately the yajna which teaches us this very truth in a very direct manner is Sankirtana yajna. He explains in this purport that in this day and age, everyone again has to perform yajna, but this yajna is not the yajna of the previous ages. Yajnas of the previous ages you cannot really perform. There is no qualified priests. You know, sometimes I see how in our ISKCON temples priests perform yajnas, especially in India sometimes it's okay. But when I see in Russia how they perform yajnas, it's really so ridiculous, you know. They pronounce all these Vedic mantras with heavy Russian accent. You know, all this Purusha Sukta and Sri Sukta, you know, what is the use? It doesn't have any meaning, you know, because if you want to get any meaning from the yajna, you have to pronounce it perfectly. The first Vedic discipline, the first anga of the Vedas is Shiksha. And Shiksha means you have to pronounce everything perfectly, because in every alphabet, in every sound of Sanskrit, there is a subtle energy in it. And if you pronounce it properly with all these accents and everything, then there may be some effect. Then the effect will be there. You know, and you know, in ISKCON they perform these yajnas, and you know, with Polish accent and Czech accent and Russian accent and American accent, you know, heavy American accent. It is of no use. Prabhupada introduced this only for the sake of, you know, popular sentiment. Because there is a popular sentiment that without this ceremony or this sacrifice, nothing will work, you know. He still introduced it. During the installation ceremony of Shri Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyama Sundara and Gaur Nitai in Vrindavan, he arranged a big yajna and invited all the priests and all the pandas and, you know, to perform this sacrifice. And when devotees asked him, why did you do this? Prabhupada said, actually there is no need for this. We could just perform kirtan and that would be enough. But, you know, if I didn't do this, the local people would not believe that this is bona fide. So, Prabhupada, he did this. And there was an interesting episode from his life. When he was taking sannyas, in 1954 he took sannyas, in Mathura, in Keshavji Gaudiya Math, he was taking sannyas. And he invited for the sannyas ceremony his godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And there was yajna was going on. And, you know, the priest was pouring the oblations there and chanting mantras and this and that. And then
And then Prabhupada, he waved his hand and he said to Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, just chant, chant Hare Krishna mantra. And the priest was little disturbed, and you know, but Prabhupada said, yeah, he encouraged him, just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Because it is Hare Krishna mantra which is the yagya for this age. And Prabhupada was such a strong believer, and actually Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, after this yagya, he said, remembering this yagya, he said that when I saw, you know, his face in this Sankirtan yagya, in Hare Krishna mantra, I understood that he will do something great. This is the specialty of Srila Prabhupada, because even among his god brothers, somehow or other, there is a tendency to divert our attention to so many other things. This yagya and that yagya and this sacrifice and this Shraddha ceremony, and you know, it's a Vedic culture, and Vedic culture means, you know, so many things, too many. But Prabhupada was a firm believer that there is only one yagya which works in this day and age. This is Sankirtana yagya, and that means chanting loudly in unison with purity of purpose, Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if anything works in this age, this is this. Nothing else works. Even this doesn't work sometimes. You know, sometimes we feel like it just doesn't work because we don't put heart into it. But if we have the firm faith that this is the only thing which works, it works. It does work. Prabhupada was very proud. He came to Hyderabad and he arranged big Sankirtan festival. So many thousands of people came and they were chanting Hare Krishna mantra together. Not any other mantras, not any other bhajans, not any other anything else, not doing pranayam, you know. Like nowadays, people are trying to find some solution to the problems. But Prabhupada said, there is only one solution. This is Hare Krishna mantra. And he came to Hyderabad, so many thousands of people came, and there was a drought, famine in Hyderabad for 3 years. There was no rains whatsoever. And when devotees started this Sankirtan, you know, next day there was a, you know, lavish rain, handsome rain fall down. And Prabhupada was very proud. He said, see, it works. This is the yagya. And he wrote to one important person, somebody, you know, said you have to engage in this welfare activity or that welfare activity. And Srila Prabhupada wrote him back, there is only one welfare activity which works in this age. This is chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. And he says, we chanted this, we created this yagya in Hyderabad, there was rain. We chanted this, we created big yagya Sankirtan festival where thousands of people came together in Delhi, and India was victorious in the war with Pakistan. And then he said, we created this Sankirtan festival in Calcutta, and in Calcutta the Naxalites, the communists were making troubles, and we were victorious over them. Prabhupada was very bold about this. He attributed everything to this Sankirtana yagya. He said, unless and until the fire of Sankirtana yagya burns, there will be nothing inauspicious. All the problems which will come, we will be able to overcome. If there is this fire of Sankirtan yagya, if the Sankirtan, if the chanting of the holy name, loud chanting of the holy name is there, the victory will be there. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Shri Krishna Sankirtanam is the means to overcome all the difficulties and ultimately to attain victory over all the problems of this age, which is a very problematic age. Like now, people are very much concerned about the environment. It's really a very difficult situation. I was told recently, I heard in Mayapur, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu said that in the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of Pacific Ocean. There is a territory as big as a state of Texas, which is big part of Europe, consisting of the plastic. All the plastic bottles, all the plastic washed away in the ocean, and by the currents of the ocean, it's brought in one place, and this place in the Pacific Ocean is as big as half of the Europe, if not more. So much plastic is there, so much pollution is there. It's terrible what people are doing with the environment. You know, like last year was it, or when the British Petroleum, there was this in the Mexican Bay of Mexico, the British Petroleum was pumping petroleum from the oil from the bottom of the ocean, and there was, you know, there was a leakage, and the surface of the ocean, thousands and thousands, crores of square kilometers of the water was covered by the oil. And if the water of the ocean is covered by the oil, the water cannot evaporate. The sun cannot evaporate of the water. And if the sun cannot evaporate the water, there will be no clouds. And because there is no clouds, there is no rain. This is exactly what is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means destruction of everything. Ultimately, no rains. All these horrible things will be there. But Prabhupada said there is only one solution to this. And sometimes you may wonder how it is the solution. How Sankirtana Yagi is the solution against this leakage of oil in the Bay of Mexico. Or how it is the solution from this plastic which is accumulated in the middle of Pacific Ocean. It is the solution because all these things is the consequences of the greed within the heart of living entity. And to stop this ever-increasing greed, the fire of ever-increasing greed within the heart, there is only one way to do this, is to chant Hare Krishna mantra. If you chant Hare Krishna mantra, then your desires are purified, then you will get rid of this all-devouring greed within the heart. And then you will be able to solve all these problems. And ultimately, if we chant loudly enough and more people join and this Sankirtana Yagya, all these problems will be solved. There is no doubt about it. Now there is no solution. Why? Because people do not understand the solution which is offered by the Vedas or by Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayari Yajantihi Sumedasaha. If you have some brain in Kali Yuga, which is very rare, you will perform this yagya, this only yagya, Sankirtana yagya, and then all the problems will be solved. There is no solution, there is no other solution, there is no other solution. No other way, no other way, no other way. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nameva Kevalam, Kalau Nastieva, 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 Gatiranyata. This is the way, and we have to be firmly convinced. And Prabhupada was one. And by his firm faith in this process, he did so much. So many people accepted this. Look how many of us are here. If every one of us would have the same kind of faith which Prabhupada had, all the problems would be solved. Prabhupada says, this is the way to be materially prosperous in this age, to chant Hare Krishna mantra, and this is the way to advance spiritually. He emphasizes this point in this purport. This is the way, this is the way, this is the way. And people will be able to understand this if devotees themselves will have firm belief in this. If the belief will be there, then the people will understand this, and ultimately all the problems which are there, innumerable problems of this age, will be solved for some time. You know, after that, you know, there will be more problems. But anyway, that's what this verse is teaching us. This verse is ultimately teaching us to surrender to God. This verse is saying that if you don't surrender to God, you will become proud. And if you become proud, you become envious. And if you become envious, you will create some horrible actions and you will suffer. Because of the pride, you will suffer. And there is only one way to counteract these tendencies, which are very strong within our heart, the tendency for pride and envy. This is to perform sacrifice. And there is only one way to perform sacrifice nowadays. This is to chant loudly together, cooperating with each other, playing musical instruments and dancing and jumping very highly in the sky. This very powerful Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay. So if there is any question. Yes.
Japa meditation is a devotional service, right? So, can we say that silent meditation is a sort of a sense gratification? Silent meditation against japa meditation.
Yes, silent. You know, this age of Kali Yuga is very loud age. So much noise is there. How you can do silent meditation in this age? Even if you're silent, so many people around you are not silent, and they will disturb your meditation. And even if you're externally silent, the mind, which is so agitated in this age, will loudly say something when you try to silence it. Silent meditation is not practical, and ultimately, I mean it, you may call it sense gratification, because it really, what it gives in this day and age, it only gives some satisfaction to your ego. Really. You do this meditation and you become a little proud that I'm meditating, you know. But ultimately meditation doesn't really work. Because this, you know, there are so much disturbance everywhere. You know, the ether is polluted. You know, the waves are there in the ether, all this internet are there, you know. It's, to do silent meditation, really you have to quiet your mind, and to quiet your mind, the mind has to be very, you know, really peaceful, but, you know, it's not possible. Therefore, the only result of the silent meditation is that Prabhupada, he used to say, all these people who try to meditate silently, that ultimately they sleep. You know, they become very peaceful and they sleep. Meditation is a very difficult process, really difficult. You have to be completely, you know, controlled, and the mind has to be peaceful. So the only result is that you become a little proud that I am doing meditation. But for how long you can do meditation in this age? You know, real dhyana is when you can concentrate on something for 24 minutes at least, without any slightest deviation, no deviation whatsoever, total complete absorption and concentration on something, you know. If you manage to do it for 10 seconds, it's already achievement in this age.
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a wonderful, inspiring lecture, Maharaj. My understanding in the early days was, of course, number one, na harinama 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 eva kevalam kaloa nasteva nasteva gatiranyata. It's not recommended in this age for anything other than chanting the holy names of the Lord. So therefore we are required. Not that silent meditation isn't good. We actually do it. We do it three times a day if once we attain Brahmanical initiation. So we actually do a little silent meditation. But my understanding from Prabhupada was that we are chanting out loud our japa benefit all the living entities, the flowers, the trees, anyone who passes us, the microorganisms, like that. It's a duty in the age of Kali, like to give the holy name to others, the benefit of the holy name. Ramanujacharya couldn't even keep it to himself, even under the instruction of his guru. So our real duty, dharma of this age, is in the Harinam Sankirtan, is to give it, not just take it. That's the real yajna for this age.
That's true. That's absolutely true. We do it for the sake of others, but also we do it for the sake of ourselves, because if we're engaged in this loud meditation, then the chances are more than the meditation will take place, that we concentrate our mind. This age is so disturbed, and because it's so loud, the only way to counteract this loud noise of this age is to chant even more loudly. But it's true, it's absolutely true that even we do Sankirtan because we also want to bring auspiciousness in the lives of other living entities. It's true. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. It is said that both Lord Indra and Lord Rishabhadeva are incarnation of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
But then why Indra should be envious of Lord Rishabhadeva?
Why Indra should be envious of Lord Rishabhadeva? Because Indra is a living entity. He is an incarnation in the sense that some Shaktis... He is actually not really incarnation. Rishabhadev is, technically speaking, Rishabhadev is Shakti Aveshavatar, and Indra is Vibhuti of the Supreme Lord. There is a subtle difference between Vibhuti and Shakti Aveshavatar. Shakti Aveshavatar is avatar in the sense that the complete Shakti of the Supreme Lord is invested in this particular living entity. Whereas Indra is Vibhuti. Vibhuti is a little lower category. There is also partial investment of the Supreme Lord's Shakti in this living entity, and therefore he is performing all his activities. But his individual living entity means ego. Indra has his ego, and every other living entity has his ego. And ego is the problem. Ego means that, I'm the most important one, the most glorious one. So he is not really incarnation. He's a Vibhuti. Some Shakti is invested in him of the Supreme Lord. But because he has the ego, he will become envious of somebody who has more Shakti. And Rishabhadev has more Shakti, because he is Shakti Avesh. Shakti Avesh means bigger level of Shakti, stronger level.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanandi.